reading to you from Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter and the 21st verse. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. I tell you, friends, be sure and pray real hard for me and my wife in the Quartet Plus One as we go to a large church in Colorado this month. And they want us to hold a service just like we would in prison. I said, well, you better bring some guards to stand at the door. They didn't think that was funny. Well, listen, hey, I'll be with you for a half an hour. Now, you just kick off your slippers, and you sit back and relax, and maybe you better have a hot tea and a hot coffee tonight, because it's snowing out here in our part of the country. Well, let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and let's begin reading with the 12th verse. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the decree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in the God rests upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, or as an evildoer or as a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. I've named this Growing Through Trials. Listen, friends. God's instrument of growth starts with the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, that's the beginning of your spiritual birth. You've had a physical birth, but until you've accepted Jesus, that's all you've had. And you have a heart of stone, and he would like to take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Then he will write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. He said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hey, you know what, friends? Nicodemus was as religious as a man could be. And he was not a drunkard. He was a good man. In fact, he was a member of the Sanhedrin court, which put him right up there. He was a ruler of the Jews. Why would he have to seek out Jesus? Because his Jewish religion was not enough to get him into heaven. Religion does not save. Religion is man-made, but salvation is God-made. So he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, old Nicodemus thought he had to enter the second time into his mother's womb, which was silly. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you a ruler of the Jews and don't know these truths? Listen, friends, if you're not born again, this Bible absolutely is totally Greek to you. You don't understand it. But the minute the Spirit of God comes in your heart and you're born again, you will understand, not all of it, but you'll sure understand enough to know what God wants for your life. See, God's plan is birth, growth, and maturity. See, God uses the Bible. He uses the church. He uses other believers to mature us. We have radio preachers. We have television preachers. Of course, you got to know how to sort it out. You know the chaff and the grain. God also uses trials to bring us to maturity. Oh, listen, listen. Some of these things are pretty hard to come by. Why Christians have trials? Well, it tells us in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things has happened to you. It is our testing time, our trial time. Peter said, think it not strange. Listen, Christians have trials because we live in a sinful world. Now, in Romans 3, it says, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. My dear wife never thought she was a sinner. Bless her heart, no. She didn't smoke, cuss, and drink, and that was it. Oh, my friends, the Bible said we have all sinned. And when the Holy Spirit of God tugs at your heart, He will reveal to you He's trying to come into your heart. Jesus will never come into a heart that won't repent. He will not under any condition. Jesus did not force Himself on you. And we're not trying to force anything on you either. We want you to listen with the ears of your soul. We want you to receive the message. Now, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. So we said, we've established that we've all sinned, so we were all lost. You and I deserve the bowels of hell. That might make some of you mad, but it's true, we really do. But you know, God didn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want me to go to hell. And the thing is, some people have the misguided concept that God sends people to hell. Beloved, He does not. He does not send people to hell. You are the one that makes your decision where you want to spend eternity. Now, if you want to go to heaven, you repent and receive Christ. If you want to go to hell, just keep on going. You don't have to do a blessed thing. You'll go there, all right. See, we live in a world of crime and sickness and death. And as much as it appointed for men to die once, then the judgment, that's what's going to happen. A lot of people don't know that, but you know, after you die, after your eyes are shut in death, you are going to be judged. Now, on the day of the rapture, when He gathers all those who are born again, there could be a Baptist, could be a Pentecostal, could be a Christian, could be anything. But when we get there, they're going to open the Lamb Book of Life, and they're going to... Now, that Lamb Book of Life does not tell you whether you're coming in or not. It tells you what you've done on this earth, and He wants to reward you for what you've done on this earth in His name. Did you know that? God has rewards for every blessed one of His children who live for Him, and you say, well, I heard a fine Christian. I love him. But he's wackier than a bed bug. He told me, I don't want anything like that. I don't want him to give me any gifts. Well, I got news for you. You're going to get them whether you like them or not. If whatever you do on this earth is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Christians have trials because of the power of Satan. We have an adversary, my dear friends. His name is Satan. They call him several different names. But we have an adversary, and I want you to know he's on the job all day long. Consider Satan's attack on Job. My stars in the morning. Do you know what? Job was a good man. But one day Satan come up and said to the Lord, only reason Job loves you, because you made him a rich man. You take away his wealth and his animals, and I'll guarantee he'll curse you and die. Well, God had to accept that challenge because He knew Job's heart. He knows your heart tonight. He knows my heart tonight. He knows what we're thinking, what we believe. Well, okay. Now, in 1 Peter, it says, 5:8, it says, the roaring lion It says, be of a sober spirit, be on the alert, because I will tell you, the devil is after you and I. But don't be too much afraid, because God has all power. I know some religions that try to scare their people to death by Satan. Satan don't scare me. I know he's out there. Oh, yes, I do. And I face him practically every day, and most ever Christians do too. See, we Christians are on a collision course with the world. See, they wonder why we don't drink and party with them. Because we're Christians. See, Jesus warned of this conflict. Boy, are we going to have a conflict. Many have suffered and died for Christ. You read that in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Boy, it'll tell you what's happened. Well, why the Christians' trials are different? Well, it tells us in verse 13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. We do not suffer alone. And I read in Hebrews 13:5-6. Let's see, where's 13:5-6? I had it here. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Oh, my dear friends, let me tell you something. I had went, my wife and family had moved to California. I was getting ready to go to seminary, which I never got to go. But anyway, we went down there. And my wife, she come over to pick me up at work and said, Oh, Cecil, what's the matter? She says, I got a call from Seattle and they're going to put you in jail. I said, put me in jail? For what? Well, she said, because we left the state with furniture that was not paid for altogether. Well, I said, okay, I'll call him. So I called him, and oh, he was so sweet. It was like sugar. I said, this is Cecil Moe, and I understand you called my wife today and told him you were going to throw me in jail because I took furniture out of the state that wasn't paid for. He said, oh, Mr. Moe, something. Well, maybe one of our men did call. I said, sir, hold it. Stop right there. Do you know that I called you people, told you where I was going, and told you what I was going to do? I have not missed a payment, so you cannot throw me in jail. Oh, we don't want to throw you in jail, Mr. Oh, he was so sweet. Sometimes we have to stand up and be counted. Well, you know, the Bible said, we become partakers of Christ's suffering. And again, in verse 13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Oh, friends, listen. We can find joy in jeopardy. You remember when old Paul and Silas was thrown in a slammer? They beat the living tar out of those guys. Oh, they sure did. And they were so happy that they got to suffer for the Lord. Paul said, you remember that song we heard down in Ephesus? Yeah, yeah. Well, let's sing it. So Paul and them got into a beautiful song. They were just singing praises and rejoicing in the Lord that they were suffering for the cause of Christ. And God got so happy. He got so pleased. Look at my boys down there. They're happy. They're not complaining. I think I'll just bless them. And he shook the doors of that prison off with an earthquake. Well, the old guy that was guarding them that beat Paul and him up, he was outside, and all of a sudden he heard a rumble, run in there and saw all the doors off the prison, and everybody was there but he'd see him. he fell on his knees and he was going to stick a sword in his belly, like the Japanese did, Harry Carey. And they said, hey, don't do yourself no wrong, no harm. We're all here. And then he cried out, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friends, how do I know that that jailer finally found Jesus? Because he took Paul and Silas to his own home. And there, he told them that he told them to tell his family about Jesus. And they preached Jesus unto those men, and they baptized them at midnight. Can you believe that? Boy, if some of our churches would do that, it'd be something exciting, wouldn't it? Well, after our trials will come glory. I read in Romans 8, 17 and 18. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Oh, I know there's religions, beloved. I know there's religions that teach people that they once they become a Christian, they will never suffer. They will never have any problems. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, I got news for you. Once you give your heart to Jesus, you're prepared. You better be prepared to have trials and tribulation. You sure better be, because you're going to have them. Oh, yes, you are. You're going to have a lot of them. And they say, I've heard preachers say, well, you know what? If you are poor or you're financially in trouble, did you know you're not right with God? Come on, are you kidding me? No, you're not right with God if you're broke and you're sick. Did you know Dr. So-and-so down in California, he's a black preacher? And he said, if you are sick, when you die, you can't go to heaven. I wonder what he told his wife who died of cancer. Whoa, I wonder what he told her. Yes, friends, we are going to have trials and we're going to have tribulations. Don't you worry about it. Well, now, how do mature Christians react to their trials? Verse 14, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Happy are you. Be rejoicing that we are counted worthy to go through trials and tribulations. Happy even when reproached, and I would be the biggest liar in the world if I said it makes you happy to be reproached. But you know what? The Bible said, God said, I'm with you in your trials. Lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. See, Christians may have financial trials. Hey, listen, the first 10 years of my life, my Christian life, we near starved to death, my family and I. We didn't starve to death. I said we near starved to death. We didn't get the things we'd like to eat, but we always had the food on the table. Oh, my stars, yes. And that's by walking by faith. Oh, beloved, if you have not walked by faith, if you're walking by what your checkbook says or your bank account or your savings or your investments, you have not really found the answer. It is good to walk by faith. It's not easy. Now, I can look back and just rejoice over the trials and tribulations my wife and I with. When I was going to Bible college in Riverside, they gave me up to die with a lung tumor. And boy, for 3 months, I thought I was going to die. My, I was sick. Ooh, I was sick. And we were poor. Oh, we were poor. But God supplied our needs just like he did Elijah out there in the wilderness. He sent meat and sent a raven and all these things. Even put a little brook there so he'd be comfy. And then he cut off the brook in the food. He said, what are you doing here? Get out here and get busy. Well, we can sit on the pity pot, and each one of us who've been born again have been on the pity pot, have we not? Sure. Woe was me. Oh, I don't know why the Lord picked on me. Why everything? Well, because he loves you. Hey, if he loves you, he's going to try your faith. Financial trials teach us to care and to give. You know, Paul said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at last, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but lacked opportunity." Hey, listen, I love Paul because he worked his heart out. He went and preached. When he got a call from Macedonia, he didn't go with the home mission board. He went down and booked passage in a ship, and away he went. Now, when Paul run out of money, and he oft times did, he run out of money, he'd go out and he'd make a tent. He'd sell that tent, and he'd take the money and go preach the gospel. I've had to do that all my preaching days. I've had a large roofing company. You said, "Well, how can a preacher have roofing company?" Because that's the way I supported myself. That's the way I traveled to Japan and preached and Caribbean and all over the halfway around the world. I did it because the Lord provided the money through my roofing business. I didn't go out and beg for money. God supplied our needs. Now, Christians may have trials concerning health, and I tell you, dear friends, I have had health problems ever since I've been a Christian. I've had arthritis so bad I can't walk. In fact, the matter is, friends, I got a little electric scooter that I go to prison in, and I preach in prison and rescue mission and churches, and I put my little bottle of oxygen in the front of her and my Bible, and away we go. Oh, I'm not mad. I wished I was off an oxygen. I really don't like oxygen, but if that keeps me alive and keeps me preaching, I'm going to suck on it. You remember songwriter Fanny Crosby? She was blind. Have you ever saw the songs that she wrote? I once was blind, but now I can see. The poet Annie Johnson Flint suffered tremendous arthritis. Health problems often teach us to sympathize and pray. You know what? When I see someone on oxygen, I kind of feel sorry for them. But you know, again, Christians may have trials concerning their families. Even the faithful often suffer in this area. These trials teach us to rejoice in the family of God. Listen, Christians may even have emotional problems, may find help from Christian counselors. Emotional problems teach us to lean on Jesus. Let me tell you what. Don't ever be afraid to go to a Christian counselor. I would never go to a psychiatrist that wasn't a Christian, under no condition. I don't want anybody probing in my mind that don't know Jesus, do you? I hope not. Well, let me ask you, how are you doing in God's school of trials? Are you having some problems today? Lean on Him. Don't try, trust. Don't try, trust. Don't try, trust. That's what I mean. Just trust in the Lord. Are your trials making you better or bitter? Look to Jesus in trials. He understands and cares. Oh, dear friends, listen to me. Listen to me. What he said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things have happened to you." No, it happens to every born-again believer. We sure do. We have testings. Yes, we do. But it's for our own benefit. It's so we will lean on the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on the Lord, because you're not strong enough, nor am I. Well, listen, friends, you say, "Well, Cecil, you know, I really don't even know the Lord. I listen to preachers, and I go to church once in a while, and I read my Bible, but you know what? I've not experienced the thing that you talked about today, about accepting Jesus and turning from your sins and receiving Christ." Well, listen, my friends, if there's a tugging at your old heart tonight, you know what it is? It's God's Holy Spirit saying, "Child, Cecil's telling the truth. I want to come in and sup with you and you with me. And you know what? If you have a real desire in your heart to trust Jesus, I want you to do this. And please, beloved, don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. Unless you're willing to turn your back on their way of life and invite Christ in, don't pray this prayer. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all I've done to you and others. And the best way I know how, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like to talk to you. My phone number is 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for money. And I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. Does that make me bad? I don't think so. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what I've tried to do. Well, friends, if I can help you spiritually, won't you call me? 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call right now.
Like a child. Don't ask me how to reason out the mysteries of life, or how to face its problems with a smile. Go ask the man who's found the way through tangled roads
If you were one of those going through the trials of life, let me pray for you. Father, I pray that you'll be with that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. Help them to look to Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Listen, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.